I am unashamed. What about you?
So, Jace, on a previous podcast that we did, you told a story about your whole secret sleuth catching the fish. Remember all that? You know, the when he caught the fish for Missy, and you know, he had to prove to himself.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Oh, well, so, that wasn't a story. That was like a home run.
My manhood in jeopardy. I made her a promise.
So it was,
it was a classic. So anyway, so I'm telling that night, you know, we were around a dinner table, and so, you know, we live next door to my daughter and son-in-law, and so we eat most of our meals together. And I was telling them that story because somebody said, how'd the podcast go, Dan? So I'm telling that story. So everybody's laughing. It's funny. And our reaction to Jace, and I was like, Jace is so weird. He has these weird ways of
I'm not sure why that's funny or weird.
It's both. So anyway, so here's the point I want to make. So Carly's 14 years old. You know, you just baptized her. So, you know, she tells me things all the time. It's like a whole nother world. I mean, like, there's a whole new language that's going on that I don't even know. None of us do, which we talk about a lot about the internet. It's social media driven. They come up with all these names. So as soon as I told the story, she said, oh, he was simping.
Simping?
Simping.
How do you spell that?
I've got it right here because I looked it up. It's S-I-M-P-I-N-G, simping. And we were like, simping?
I've never heard that word.
Nor had I. And I was like, what is that? Well, then she told us what it was. So then we instantly get our phones out, me and Stone, and we're like,
look. That's what I was fixing.
Here's what you'll find. So it's a male overly catering to the exaggerated emotions of a woman, which sounded a lot like what Jace was describing. I mean, she totally nailed it. A man saying things to a woman he does not believe, but only saying them because he thinks she wants to hear them. And then it actually says short for a simpleton, which thought fit Jace as well.
Okay, she is incorrect. That is a misdiagnosis of
I knew Jace would see it. But no. What it is here's when you break it down. It's a man trying to impress a woman.
Okay,
that's what it means.
Yeah, but the overly exaggerated. No, this is reality. If you put the effort in and you rise up as a provider in your marriage, and you take the time and you're careful and pay attention to the details, later on that night, there will be reward. It will happen. And all I'm trying to do is get people to embrace the greatest sex on earth, which is God sanctioned between a man and his wife.
Make sure you're married.
So after 30 years, sometimes you say, boy, if I only had a spark. And all I said, well, maybe you need to go fishing.
It doesn't actually apply the thing. I just thought it was funny one to bring it up because is about a teenager trying to impress a girl. But I did link it to the story.
So as a low-tech man, and the way it turned out, I'd rather it be a low-tech culture. But I'm a low-tech man surviving in a high-tech environment. And so these things come up. I don't plan at 70. I'll be 74 in about a month. I don't make that far in advance plans on whether me and Miss Kay gonna mess around a little bit in the bed. I don't make that 12 hours before it happened. I don't go that much in advance. You understand how? Spontaneous. It's not well thought out for the next 6 hours.
That's why I was sharing this story, is that I think you might need to make an in-life adjustment, and it would be worthy of the time you put in. But you got to remember,
I love the Phil eye rolls. That's my favorite.
We need to look at the response to this issue, because I don't look at that stuff, and just see if people have
tried
this.
What's happened is that, and they need to study it, the intelligentsia crowd, is that I'm in my 70s. And the low-tech type world came up pre-cell phone.
Yeah.
That rules. That still rules with me.
Yeah.
It's what are you doing with what is that?
Right.
And it was too much. I said, look, how you turn the thing on? I mean, you gotta have to have a code. Everything has a code. No more just on and off. You know, turn the thing off, off.
That's right.
Or turn it on, turn on.
Oh, so you need like four remotes to operate one TV.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And it's gotten now to where it's you're trying to protect from outside evil influences via the cell phone.
And, that's true.
And they're coming up with their own jargon, their own language. And I'm sitting here and it's all flying by me. And I'm like, it's not worth it. I mean, I relish in the low
tech. It's just
tech.
Not worth it. It's
that's
not
why worth it. I was using an
it's
example.
It's not worth it fooling. But here I am in my 70s. Y'all are my children, but y'all are in your 50s. But the high tech stuff, you brought that up with you. Right. And I'm listening to it. I'm watching y'all roll.
Well, we were at the beginning of it, but we don't even get
but
it.
Basically, I'm walking around now, and it's not Alzheimer's, I don't think. I'm just walking around being perplexed about the whole thing.
But
like
see,
that, what you just said, simping. I'm like.
Yeah, I'm not using that word. I don't like it. I think that's terrible. But see, here's where the problem comes in. Even the old heads, not that you're an old head, but okay. Yeah, the other day I'm playing golf. My second round of the year, which was about like the first one.
It was good. Ugly. I was in on the first one.
And
ugly.
So we're on the first hole, and they have a big lake on the left, you know. And one of my, you know, playing partners hits his first ball in the lake. So
you're at Desert?
No, I'm at Calvert.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Well, they changed the
court. Yeah, I forgot. That's right. You're right.
And so when we get down there, and I heard this loud racket. I mean, and then I'm like, what just happened here? I look over there and I see a splash in this, my playing partner, who I'm not, we're friends, but we have like a big group. It's like 25 people show up and then you all disperse. So it ain't like, you know, I know this guy, but I'm like, well, what just happened? He said, water moccasin, but he's running, you know, the other way.
Like he was going to charge after him, right?
I spent most of my life around water moccasins, and my immediate response is, I ain't even looked in the water. I hadn't looked for a snake, but I'm thinking, not a water moccasin. Because right. Water moccasins are usually not where there's a lot of traffic, you know, and that's people. Right. But I thought, he's so scared. So he gets his phone out while I'm going over it. While I look, I see the snake. It's a water snake. Oh, it's not even a scary-looking water snake.
Because they do have some scary-looking water snakes.
But now I'm in a weird situation here because I'm like, okay, he's terrified. I mean, his hand was shaking, you know, because he went in there looking for his ball, and the snake takes off. And now I realize, so he swings his club, you know, at the snake. It's ridiculous. What are you going to do with that?
Make him mad. Perfectly good golf club on a water snake, non-poisonous.
So I'm like, do I tell him this is not a water moccasin? You know, I didn't know what the redneck protocol here is. Because this guy,
he was so scared, then he wanted to say, look, that was all just, that snake can't even hurt you.
You know, so I thought, you know what, it's not worth it. But then he, because what his buddy in the cart said, not a water moccasin, you know.
And there you go.
Here's the problem. He then looks it up on a phone and finds some picture that he thinks looks like this snake. And I'm like, you're treating that cell phone like the Bible, number one.
Like it's all true.
This is not the Bible. You found some, you know, idiot who posted a picture and said, look, water moccasin who made
it
the
was
same.
Just like him.
Made the same mistake you made because he's pissed. That's it. So then I thought, you know what?
I got to step in. Yeah.
I said, it's not a water moccasin. And he's like, it wasn't? Because he knows me. Look at me. I spend time in the wilderness.
If anybody knows what a snake looks like, it's one of us.
Yeah. I said, I hate it. And he's like, well, I could have. I mean, he kept putting that phone up. And I was like, if that was a Bible, I'd say, okay. I said, but it's a cell phone. I said, that's not a water moccasin. I said, I would sleep with that snake. It's a little baby water snake. He was harmless.
Yeah. but he was terrified.
He was in the moment, he was terrified.
And look,
he validated it with a cell phone was my point, that we just view that cell phone like it in his mind. Well, I'm scared. It was embarrassing for him. But then he was trying, you know, we're men. And he's like, I'm trying to prove to you that I had a right to be scared.
What line of work was this gentleman in?
You know, that's a good question off the top of my head. I don't know. You can make your point. Maybe it'll come to me. What does he do?
Well, who is it? I mean, you're not one to embarrass him. If you tell me, I probably know what he does.
I mean, it's pretty evident.
You know Fox?
It's pretty evident that he does not get out much.
Fox does he has a truck with his name. I think he's maybe an electrician or something. I don't know.
I think he sells like electrical supplies or
something. Because he has his own business. He has a truck. With
I mean, he's a smart guy.
I mean, if you get out much and
but most
roam
people,
around where there's a lot of cop mess,
but most people wouldn't know that.
You will become very used to looking down and say, easy, what's that one?
Well, here's my rule.
And you and I have seen cottonmouths before on our golf course.
I have.
There are some
number
there.
But see, that's what I'm saying in my brain,
but
the way it works.
In areas where there's not a lot of
cotton. Well, on number six.
Yep.
Okay, if he had said there, because I've seen one there before.
Yeah.
But here's the rule, and a lot of people listening, here's the rule. If you think it's a cottonmouth, it's not. There's no doubt. When you see one, the size of the head, if you're like, I think it may be a cottonmouth. When I hear that, I'm like, nope. When you see one, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
That joker.
He's an hombre.
He's not scared of anything.
No,
his head's about five times the size of what his body should look like. And they're just eerily looking, you know.
Yeah, it looks like a monster.
Yeah.
A big rattlesnake or a cottonmouth is a scary looking dude.
They're to be respected.
All right, well, let's take a quick break, and we'll jump into what we're going to be talking about today. So as we're enjoying our Black Rifle coffee, which is fantastic. I mean, that first sip right out of the right out of the pot is so awesome.
I give credit when I do events and speak. I give first to the Holy Spirit, and second, strong Black Rifle coffee.
That's right.
You put those two things together.
The key word, black.
Yep. That's right. Don't put anything in it.
Not light brown.
That's right.
Black.
And we don't put anything in ours either, but that's just us.
We're men.
So I am a member of the Black Rifle Coffee Club, which is a great idea because they send you sign up and then you get coffee. So you can get what you want. Sometimes people like to try different things. I've been hearing from a lot of people around the country. What I love about these guys, veterans, they're supported. They're committed to supporting veterans, law enforcement. They're all great guys. Their founders spent 20 years in the U.S. Army as an infantryman, which is awesome. So we want you to support these guys. It's great coffee on top of that. You can go to blackriflecoffee.com/Phil. blackriflecoffee.com/Phil. Use the promo code Phil and you get 20% off your first purchase. That's off the coffee club or just coffee, whatever you want to get. Check these guys out. You will not be sorry you did. All right, so today I thought we would last time we talked about this story of Jesus cleaning out the temple and basically giving them a little glimpse of the resurrection. And it brought to mind, Jace, there was a guy that spoke at our church a couple of weeks back.
Fantastic.
I mean, amazing. And I thought we'd talk about what he talked about, because it fits to me. It's a perfect thing.
Well, tell his story. We all support him. Well, I'll tell you this. Last year he came and spoke because he's a missionary that we support. Our church does
in Athens.
You know, I've heard a lot of missionaries get up. They give their spiel. Some of them I'm like, yeah, okay, that's good. He was one of the few that after he got through speaking, I literally got my checkbook out and wrote him a check.
Yeah.
And it was four figures, but still, I mean, I'm like, here you go. Now, this is a good work, but you can explain. You know what he does.
His name is Larry Bowles. And by the way, what Jace is talking about, our church does, and actually it's a international ministry, but it's called One Kingdom. So if you go to onekingdom.org, you can check out what we're doing. But this guy's name is Larry Bowles, and he and his wife are missionaries, and they go to Athens, Greece. And they started going there because – so all these Muslims are being driven out of the Middle East by other Muslims, by the way. Syria, Afghanistan, I mean, the Taliban, ISIS, you know, it's Muslim against Muslim.
They're refugees. They're leaving their – what's the name of that sea that they're crossing? The Aegean Sea. Well, it's like tens of thousands of Muslims are coming there. So he's there.
Yeah, so he's there basically saying this is an opportunity – for the gospel. Because these people are displaced. Anytime you have a massive movement of people, it's very ripe to be able to tell them what we know about, because they've lost their connection to everything. Their
home. And they were ousted, you know, by what they seemingly believe, but somehow or another they're ousted. So they're in a situation where they're perhaps open.
Yeah, and they've lost everything. I mean, it's amazing. They come across this sea, Dad, and you didn't get to see the video, but when they, and this was just like on Al Jazeera or BBC, we're watching these clips, you know, he put in the video. They come across at a GNC, which is not easy to do, and they're all piled on this boat. And it's kind of like what happens in our country from the Central America to get to the U.S. So you got these coyotes, these people making money off of it, and they don't care where they live or die. They're just, and they take everything they have.
Oh, it'd be like 100 people in a raft. That was designed 15. For 15. Well,
they're hanging.
How many do you say that died?
Oh my goodness, it's thousands. So and they had pictures of it on Al Jazeera. They're just bodies.
Yeah, it was gruesome.
On the you know, they just wash up. They just drown. You know, it's sad. Kids, old people. So anyway, these people come here, and so Greece, you know, winds up being the place, because that's where they're all trying to get to. That's their sort of their portal to trying to get to Europe, to get a flea, you know, what's on the other side. So they come there. So Greece has an island that they kind of direct them all to, and they built a place for them. Of course, you know, Greece, they got their own problems, but they built this place for them. It holds like, what is it supposed to hold, like 3,000? Mm-hmm. And there's like 18,000 people there. So it's just
like tents and just
terrible situation. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Bowles goes there, and because any situation like this, and you know, people that have this vision for it, he said, this is an opportunity to tell them about Jesus, because these people are going to be open. And he was right on the money. So what happened was they started converting some people to Christianity. Well, their first like three or four guys that's been a few years back, they're like from Iran.
Oh, Afghanistan, you know, yeah. All the places, which what pricked my interest about it was that here we are. We've had these U.S.-led military engagements because of all the problems they're causing, you know. But I'm like, here's a guy from a spiritual warfare standpoint, saw an opportunity to think, you know, if you really want to change that culture over there, you have to change the heart.
Right, which we've always said that, but this guy's actually doing
it. Oh, he's doing it. And look, what he does is dangerous. They, in several, because you got to remember, these people that he's bringing to Jesus, a lot of them have been whipped and beaten. And because when they say goodbye to their faith,
Islam,
that they have before Islam and the things that go along with it, well, then you become a target.
Death sentence.
And so he has to work with all that going on meanwhile. But his vision is, I'm not going to be able to reach their countries, but I'm reaching these refugees for Jesus, because the power in introducing Jesus, it doesn't matter what kind of background you have, it's appealing. And so they're coming to the Lord from all these different countries. Well, then they're the ones going back, because then all of a sudden they go from a refugee to a missionary, thinking, well, I've got the way to change my culture.
So they're building these churches with these guys now that are disciples. So some of these have been around a few years. So here's how they're going back in, because they can't. If you went back in physically into this country, they'd just kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what would happen. So we talk a lot about the internet. So the internet now is the vehicle to get the gospel back into these countries, because as backwards as many of them are, like Afghanistan, it's amazing how a lot of people still can get to the internet. That's how ISIS.
What was the one that did the 150 video? Which country was he from?
Iran.
Yeah. So the guy he converted, you know, from Iran, who, and they showed many clips of him speaking. I mean, he was just preaching Jesus, just like any one of us. And he's doing all these videos. And so, of course, he's a wanted man. You know, they're looking to kill
him. Oh, it's a
death
sentence on him, see.
But all these people from Iran, since he's from Iran, saying, look, check this out. Well, they're watching it. And right. I forgot how many views the guy was having, but I mean,
hundreds of thousands of people are watching it. And so they're fine. So they're basically getting the gospel into the Middle East, which none of us can go there. I mean, you know, they'll kill you.
Nor would I want to.
Nor would I want to, right?
That sounds horrible, but yeah, I'd last 5 minutes over there. Somebody put a bullet in my head.
Exactly right. So what Larry does is, so his emphasis is to disciple and get the word into these guys. and then they're going to get it into their country, which is brilliant. So here, but here's what's what piqued my interest in Jay. So they just did a, and there's a video on this One Kingdom you can watch if you're interested. But so that's kind of the mission of what he does. But so then he did our Bible class. He did like a combined class at our church.
Yeah, his sermon was more about what we just got through saying. Right, here's right. what we're doing.
Here's our mission.
His class was, this is what I teach people, because they have like a school. You know, they bring the refugees in. They feed them like you do homeless. You know, they have a soup line and all that. But they're trying, and then they invite them to come to their school, which right. it's a school of Jesus.
That's right.
That's what it is. But then he's like, he told a funny illustration about having a guitar with one string on it, and he has one song. He's like, my message has just one theme.
Yeah, he told it. He said there was a homeless guy that was in Tulsa, and he had one string guitar. And so he would say, give me your request. Of course, he had his bucket fun. There cause to put money in there. And he said, if you give me your request, then I'll sing your song. So somebody put in a, you know, $5 bill or a dollar bill or whatever. And so then he would play a song. But it wasn't the song they asked for. It was the only song he knew, one string. And then
yeah, they'd be like Pink Floyd. You know, well,
Okay, so he puts the money in one song. It's same the only song. One he knows.
Yeah,
you know?
No matter what the request was, I got one song.
This is what I got. So he said, I'm like that guy. I got the one string deal. And his one string, his one thing he drills into his guys he's teaching that then becomes their message, and it's a good one, is the deity of Christ. Because the Muslim mind, they know about Jesus because Muhammad told them Jesus was a prophet. Which yep. Muhammad was a prophet. So they got him right there together. So basically what they were saying is, oh, yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good dude. But, you know, we're following Muhammad. So his point is, if you can get them to understand that he's not, and Jesus was a prophet, but he said, but he's so much more than that. So that's their message. That's what they hammer on. That's their deal. They're just like, you got to be able to get them to understand that Jesus is God. And so then basically that became his
He did it in question form, which Jesus did numerous times. He had numerous passages. And like Matthew 16:15, you know, when Jesus said, but who do you say I am? So he revolved his whole class, which is his message, on who do you say Jesus is? Because when you think about it, that appeals to every human being on the planet. You have to form an opinion on who Jesus is.
Well, let's take a quick break, and then we'll dive into the idea of the deity of Jesus, which I think will be great. So it's hard for me to imagine, but there's a woman named Deborah that literally lost her home because mm-hmm. some people hacked into an account at a bank or wherever she had her mortgage, and basically just said it was their house, and then she got evicted out of her own house. So it's mm-hmm. a growing fraudulent way that criminals, probably from all around the world, who knows?
Virtual theft.
And yet
that's real.
It becomes a reality if it's your house, which has happened to this woman.
They'll steal your house and leave you with the porch.
That's right. Nothing. And then you got to pay the money back that they stole. So anyway, it's something you need to look out for. There's a company called Home Title Lock that basically is going to help protect you, because the banks and others are not, apparently don't have this. So we need to have this ourselves. You need to find out. So here's what you do. You go to HometitleLock.com. You can register there. They'll find out, make sure you still own your home, which is very important. If you enter Phil, you get 1 month of free protection. So that's what you do from our show. So HometitleLock.com, and you enter Phil and find out about these guys and see if it's something that can help you. So the idea is that Jesus, and I think sometimes people even in Christianity sometimes get this a little out of whack, is the understanding that Jesus Christ is God.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like he gave up his divinity to come to earth, because a lot of times people misunderstand that he became a man, therefore he was no longer God. You know, in fact, one of our viewers even asked a question because, you know, they misunderstood Si, because they were like, was Si saying that he became divine when he got baptized? And was like, no. I said he may have, but that's not what he meant. He didn't mm-hmm. he didn't leave his divine nature. He just brought it with him into a human, into becoming and he became a man.
That's but in his speech, he made that clear. I thought he made there was a good line there. Because when you think about religious leaders that have ever been here in the history of the world, they were men who became gods based on their rhetoric or their narrative or the people following them. Jesus is different. He is God, was God, is, and he became a man. That's the difference.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, because you talk about Zeus or all these, you know, all the Roman, Greek god, the idea they were men.
You go worldwide, and what you'll continually run it into is particular spirits. 1 John 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world.
Yep.
Well, then and now, you say, so how quickly can you perform the test and find out what the answer is? This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. You want to find out about the true God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. You say, stand on that. That's the test. Who is Jesus? Which is Bolton's point there. Not Bolton. What's his name?
Bowles.
That's Bowles' point.
Yep.
But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming and is already here. Right. Therefore, if you just take that test, you say, who do you say Jesus is?
Right.
And they say, well, you know, he was a prophet. You know, the Islamists will give you one version of him. Some other religious group will give you another version and another version. Right. But the ones who say Jesus is God,
which is interesting in John's point, because you were just in 1 John. So 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, all of John's later epistles, you could already see that even already in the first century,
that's right,
there was a mindset there that, and it comes from the old Greek thought that flesh is bad. You know, they always thought the mind and the intellect was everything, and the body, well, that's no good. But that's not what God said. God said you're whole in who you are, and therefore that what they were saying is, well, we can't follow this Jesus Christ you're talking about. He had flesh. So there was this idea that came along called Gnosticism, and the idea was that he wasn't really, when he was in his body, he wasn't really God.
And it ran rampant back then, but it's still here. Now, that's 1 John 4.
But you understand why they came up with that. I mean, I see their logic.
Right.
But they just...
So you get to 2 John, many deceivers, little bitty book. Over toward the end, about before you get to Jude and Revelation, many deceivers, watch, who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in this teaching of Christ does not have God. So if you read these texts about what John the Apostle was warning people about, says you better get Jesus in who he is,
right.
Better get him on straight.
Right.
And there's no mealy-mouthing him around about it.
Right.
Well, it's a difficult concept for the human feeble mind to grasp a being like God.
I've never heard of it except here in the Bible. I've never heard of this.
That's why the fact that someone would dream it up is preposterous. I've read this before, but you know, people who struggle with this concept, I think this is a very good verse for this. Now, it's not really, was not the point, but the underlying principles of what we're talking about is here. It's Romans 9:5. And I've read this before, I think, on the podcast, but he was talking about Israel being originally God's chosen people. And the second part of verse 4 says, theirs, talking about Israel, is the adoption as sons, theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, verse 5. Now, here's the point I want to make. And from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ. But this next phrase is my point. Who is God overall?
Yep.
That very few verses in the Bible just says it. Okay. Because we don't think in those terms. We think, well, there's a God and then there's humans. But we have a being who actually is the bridge or the ladder of God and humans, because he represents both, because he's God who became a man. And you and a lot of people say, well, why? Why would he do that? Because God can't die, because he's eternal. So if you're going to have a way.
So he becomes a human being so that he can die.
For the sins of the world, that's which correct. Then, since he can't die, he came back to life to show you, oh, hey, you can do this.
Right.
So, I mean, what an idea to introduce.
Try to sit under a tree 4,000 years ago and dream this one up. And all the prophets saying Jesus is coming, God in flesh, you know, Emmanuel, God with
and
us.
Not only that, Phil, to get 41 authors over a span of what, 4,000 or 5,000 years?
Yep.
Throughout the history of our world to go along with it.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll keep fleshing this out.
In these stressful times, you know what happens when you're overstressed?
What's that?
Your hair starts falling out.
Ah.
Although mine is not.
Well, because, you must not be stressed.
Well, I'm not, because, you know, I'm going to heaven. But for those who are stressed out about losing their hair, we have a good product.
Keeps. Our friends at Keeps, basically, they've got two FDA-approved hair loss products. And so you may have been losing hair before you ever stressed out on coronavirus. So whatever the case may be, none of us want to lose our hair. So you might want to check these guys out. It's keeps.com/door. Keeps, KEEPS.com/door. Basically, get 50% off your first hair loss treatment, which is great. So they've got a thing you fill out and all that kind of stuff. So go to keepsdoor.com/door and check them out. So in the practical way of looking at that, Jay, to show you how we miss it, one of our listeners sent me a question just, I think, this past week. And he asked an interesting question, but it's the wrong question. But I hear this a lot, so I want to bring it into this discussion. So he asked me, he said, do you guys baptize in the name of Jesus, like, and he had the verse there, or do you baptize them like Matthew 28, and he meant in the name of the Father, Son, and the Spirit. And so I haven't answered him, but the reason I haven't is because I want to talk about it here. It's the wrong question because it doesn't matter.
Well, look,
the answer is both.
You're not going to believe this. This is we didn't plan this. But this weekend, I spoke locally at a plumber's equipment convention or something. It was literally. Why is that funny?
Because I didn't know plumbers had conventions.
I don't know. It was 3 minutes.
Imagine a bunch of half butt crack showing like the whole thing.
It was 3 minutes from our church building. Well, they had sent an email and I was like, I'll do it. They're like, what do you charge? I'm like, nothing. For our community. Well, I go there.
They said, let me just give you credit, because I make fun of you all the time. But you are really good at that. I do the same thing. But you do it a lot because, you're famous people. But you give that to people, which I like.
I do. In our community.
Churches, I love that.
In our community.
No charge. I'm the same way.
I've spoken at a lot of churches. And now this deal, I thought, plumber convention. I'm sorry if it's not a plumber convention. I think that's what they said. But I have my assistant line it up. And they
said, fact you didn't know and you've already done it is even funny to me. You didn't even know what they were.
And so I'm doing it for free.
You didn't know plumber jokes.
They're like, be there at 5:30. I pulled up literally at 5:28. But when I pulled up, I'm like, first of all, I didn't even know this was here. Right? It was a big, huge warehouse. And look, there were cars as far as I could see. And I thought, this must be kind of big. So I walked in. This place is packed.
You're a big deal, Jace. You underestimate yourself.
No, I think they do this every 3 or 4 months.
Tell them, Jace, from Doug Dynasty.
They had fish fry. Yeah, they did, but they had a fish fry, and they were giving away, awesome stuff, fish cookers and all this kind of deal. And, well, one of the guys who helps put this on, this is not a church event whatsoever. And he said, look, there's people here. This will probably be the first sermon they ever heard, But there's a believer who works for that company.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think we should have a speaker here. And there's a guy in our local community, which is me. And he said he'll do it. And they went with it. So look, and this is getting to your point about your question about baptism. So I get up, and what I do in those settings is I just introduce Jesus. Because I'm thinking, if you fall in love with Jesus, I'm hoping and I'm figuring that you'll figure out the rest of it, you know, as far as the response. I don't really talk about repentance. I don't talk about baptism. I just introduce Jesus. And I kind of do it from a basis of, you saw the show. If you've ever seen my wife, you know, if you've seen her, I'm going to tell you, here's what happened. Here's how that happened. And then I share Jesus. I'm like, we're disciples of Jesus. Right. All that was just. So I do the speech. And then I say, has anybody got any questions? Well, I'd say there's probably 200 men there and one woman. The one woman raises her hand. And I thought, uh-oh.
First of all, you're like, why are you here?
Yeah. I did say that.
I said, just wander in?
So I have a question. Why are you here? But she didn't even answer that. I guess she worked for the company. And I think it was not a men only deal, but I guess there's not a lot of women plumbers.
I've never seen a woman plumber.
And so she said, I got a question. She asked the exact question that you just said. She said, I heard, because I mentioned to him when I was 14 that you baptized me right down here in the river. And she said, I have a lot of questions about baptism. She said, I consider myself a Christian, but I don't really, you know, go to church much or whatever. And I was taught or told that you had to be baptized in Jesus' name only. That's what she said. And so I said, well, this was perfect for me, because even though I just introduced Jesus, I then said what you just said. I said, you brought it up. It's a controversial issue in the religious world. I said, it's not in the real world.
Right.
Most people that when you introduce Jesus to them, if they're cut to the heart about who Jesus is, which is what Bowles' question is, right. We believe he's Lord. We believe he's God in human form, and he's eternal. When people want to respond to that, they accept him as their Lord. They make the decision, and we say, well, here's some water. You can actually reenact his death, burial, and resurrection in water. You can surrender. And I went at it from the angle of surrender. Mm-hmm. It's a way for you to surrender to God, reenact what he did. Well, people that don't have a religious background, they run to the water. I mean, they're just like, well, let's go find some water. Like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch.
The eunuch, exactly.
They're going along. That's, he heard about Jesus. He went, here's some water. Why shouldn't it be baptized? There was no issue. But I told her, I was like, but you, that's a good question, because here's what I would say about that. Number one, I think God knows the heart. Number two, Jesus's name in Hebrew and Greek was not Jesus. I'm not sure how you would pronounce
Yahshua.
Yeah, Yahshua. I said, so even when somebody says you have to use that specific name, they're screwing that up right off the bat.
That wasn't even what they called him back then.
So I was like, it's more about the person than it is the terminology. And then I read Colossians 2.
Right.
Do you know where I'm going with
this? Yep, I know where you're going.
I'm going to Colossians 2 because it says in verse 9, for in Christ Jesus, all the fullness of the deity, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, lives in bodily form, which is the human side of him, right? Now, here's the verse 10, and you have been given fullness in Christ, which is God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit.
Correct.
Who is the head over every power and authority, which is who do people say Christ? We believe he's the head over every power and authority. Then it goes into this, which we're familiar with. In him, you had your old sinful self cut off. He uses the word circumcised, but we know what that means. When did that happen? Verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, he raised him from the dead. Be clear. Jesus is what saves a person, 100%. I told her that.
Correct.
Jesus Christ is what saves a person. That's why they're focusing on Jesus' name, but they're looking at it so small that somehow or another, I think, they're forgetting the bigger picture on who he is, and he knows your heart, and what terminology you're using. All right, somebody's been introduced to Jesus. They want to put their faith and trust in him. I then think that that becomes a little coy to start arguing on exactly the terminology. What say you?
Let's take one last break, and then we'll wrap it up with that thought.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
That's so weird that you had the same question that I had two nights ago at my event.
I know, and you're right. So I think you're exactly right. I think it's the wrong question and the wrong view.
Sometimes I say I baptize in the name of Jesus. Sometimes I baptize
it doesn't matter.
In the name of the Father.
It does. And here's the thing: people make a big deal out about who baptizes you.
To me, there's no difference.
I remember, Dad, the first time I baptized somebody down here on the river. I was young. I was brand new back, prodigal son, returned. We were out at Luna, remember? And I was so excited. I baptized this person, a good old brother, and I love him. He's an African American guy that's gone on to be with the Lord now. He came up and put his arm and he said, "Oh, I'm so proud of you," you know, and I'm 19, you know, and I was like, "Yeah," you know, and he said, "But you know, when you baptized that guy, you know, you didn't say for the remission of sins, you know, just keep that in mind for as you go forward." Well, I mean, I was just dashed, you know, because I was like, this was such a big moment. It was my first person I'd ever baptized.
You thought I screwed him up? Then I thought, he's going to hell because of me.
I messed up. But then in the moment I took it, it's an older brother. But later when I look back at it, I thought how off that was. It didn't matter whether I said something or not. No. The person's heart is doing it. It doesn't matter who baptizes you. That doesn't matter or what they say.
Well, let me read
it's
this.
It's a submissive act to the Almighty.
It's a surrender. 1 Corinthians 1:13 says, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul?" And then Paul says, "I'm thankful that I didn't baptize any of you." And he names a few people he did. "So no one can say that you were baptized into my name." Then he gives a reference. "Yeah, I baptized, you know, people here and there." The point was verse 17. "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom."
There you go.
Now, there's the phrase. If you're having to figure out the words based on your wisdom, he just said, don't do that.
And if somehow you, whether you speak them or not, it affects this person's salvation. I mean, come on.
But here's the key. Lest the cross be emptied of its power. I've always loved this verse for a variety of reasons. Whenever you think you have to get some kind of wisdom with your words in any sermon, what is that alarm?
What happened? Somebody's lunch is ready.
Dad, fire alarm.
Is that your ear?
No, we got
end of the line, Jace. End of the line. Wrap it up.
I hate to do that. This is the best point we got.
In computer talk, that was wrap it up.
Yeah. All right. Wrap it with this thought, dude.
So my point is, Paul made a point. So a lot of people read this and they think, oh, we shouldn't baptize. No, that was not the point. The point was, it doesn't matter who's baptizing who. You get Jesus down the power of the cross and someone wants to embrace that and you have an opportunity. It doesn't matter your human words, and it doesn't matter who's the one doing the actual dunking. There's way more going on here than those things.
The Apostle Paul made that very clear.
And to prove it and to wrap it up, you mentioned the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip, which is in Acts 7 and 8. So he just was riding along in a chariot. All of a sudden, God had him running alongside. Hey, you understand what you're reading? Then they saw some water, and they did it. That's how organic it really is. And so that's the way we should go forward with that.
And now, look, and I'll say this. And
I do it all the time.
And I like Paul. The reason I said when I was at the plumbers convention, I focused on Jesus because Christ sends me to preach
him.
Did
they give you a standing O? Did they boo you out of there? Did they clap a little bit? Or did you say?
I would say it was a smattering of an applause.
Yeah.
It was. So these people.
Because they weren't expecting.
They weren't expecting Jesus. You know, I told a few jokes at first. They didn't laugh much. A few chuckles. So I thought, okay. Which I use that as fuel. I'm like, you're here.
Well, let's face it, Jason. Unless you're talking PVC and, you know, thread glue. I mean, you know.
Having said that, when I got up, they had a pastor get up and lead a prayer after I was done.
Well, good move.
When the heads go down, I'm leaving the premises. But as I'm walking out, there was a few people that saw me, and they got up, I'd say three or four guys, and they just started walking with me out. And they were, one of them said, I think I need to be baptized. And I said, well, good. Find somebody to baptize you. I said, but in the meantime, I think he thought I was just going to stop and do it. I said, in the meantime, here's what I recommend. And I said, and I'll pray for this to happen. You go home and read the book of John, like I suggested, and see what Jesus is like. And then if you're ready, I said, it doesn't matter who baptizes.
That's a great point.
I quoted this verse. I said, Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Having said that, I want you to be baptized. I think that's good. I said, but fall in love with Jesus and make sure. And so I just wanted to use that. And the others were the same kind of thing. Will you pray with me? One guy, he said, you coached me in Little League Baseball. You don't remember me? I mean, guy had a full-grown beard. I was like, no. I was like, well, what did you think about that? He said, got to give it to you. That's what I needed to hear. So I thought I took it as a positive.
It is. And it shows how old you are now, too. So great discussion. I think we just scratched the surface. So we'll talk more about this deity of Jesus next time because there's some really good stuff to dive into. So thanks for tuning in to Unashamed. Keep telling folks about it. Man, the podcast is growing and doing awesome, and we thank you for that. So I love your enthusiasm. Keep listening. Remember, we're 3 days a week now, Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, so you got a lot to choose from. So we're so glad you guys were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook. And be sure and rate us on iTunes so that other people can know about the podcast.